Good morning, everyone. I call to order the February 27th, 2019 variance hearing. I'm Corey Teague, the zoning administrator. I'm joined today by the acting deputy zoning administrator, Scott Sanchez, on the controls. To get started, we'll go over some general information about the hearing today. First, regarding the order of presentation, sponsors and or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a variance, then the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step up when that item is called. Otherwise, it will be granted. There are currently 2 items listed on the consent calendar today. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specific provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding 4, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding 5, that the granting of such variance would be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued, and due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that decision letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside the hearing room. The next variance is scheduled for March 27th, 2019, and audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. So we will now move on to today's calendar, and we'll start with a couple of housekeeping items. First, item number 3 for 1322 Wawona Street, case number 2016-000240-VAR. Will not be heard today. A request for discretionary review was filed on the associated building permit, so the variance hearing will be continued to April 25th, 2019, to be heard jointly with the Planning Commission. Second, item number 5 for 3847 to 3849 18th Street, case number 2018-009551-VAR, will also not be heard today. A request for discretionary review was filed on the associated building permit, so that variance hearing will also be continued, but to May 9th, 2019, to be heard jointly with the Planning Commission. Is there any public comment on the proposed continuances of either of those 2 cases? Okay, seeing no comment, then both of those cases are continued as stated. And with that, we will move on to the consent calendar.
For the consent calendar, we have 2 items. Item number 1, 2018-006960-VAR for the property at 51 to 55 Elgin Park and 150 Valencia Street, a rear yard and lot size variance sought. And item number 2, case number 2017-005412-VAR for the property at 2230 Gerald Avenue, seeking ground floor height variance.
any public comment on either of those two consent items? Okay. Saying none, both of those items will be approved with the standard conditions, and we'll now move on to the regular calendar.
And item number three for 1322 Wawona Street has been continued to April 25th, 2019, so we move to item number four. For case number 2018-00-3610 VAR for the property at 1616 Taylor Street, exposure variance sought. The project sponsor, you have 5 minutes to present your case.
Thank you, Zoning Administrator T and Deputy Zoning and Acting Deputy Zoning Administrator Sanchez. Jeremy Schaub of Schaub Lee Architects, representing David Chen, the owner of 1616 Taylor. This project is for, is this on even? There we go. This yes. project is for adding accessory dwelling units to an 11-unit, five-story building. The building is three stories at the street level, and then it descends steeply towards the east, where we have five stories. And the ground floor, first floor, is underused, so we'd like to create additional rent-controlled dwelling units. The scope of work is for three units. Two of them have the required exposure and open space. There is one unit, Unit C, which does not meet the required exposure. It does face onto two separate light wells. Each light well is roughly 6 feet by 35 feet, so it's lacking the required dimension of 9 feet by 9 feet. However, the total area is approximately 420 square feet, which is well over the 225 that's required for a waiver. So the variance findings are as followed. Variance finding one, project site is very steeply sloped. The entire first floor is entirely below grade, and the second floor only contains a small garage. Third floor is the location of the main residential entry. This building is also just below the allowable height limit, so building up to the allowable density, let me skip ahead. Exposure requirement for ADU is 9x9, minimum 225 square feet. As mentioned, Unit C has a total of 420 square feet of exposure. And importantly, both adjacent buildings on the north and south have matching light wells, so that the overall dimension of 9 feet is actually reached when the adjacent property is taken into account. Finding three, the variance is necessary for preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right. The entire neighborhood is quite dense, with buildings from 5 to even 60 units. Many of these built before the current planning code was in effect, as was 1616 Taylor. It's quite common for small units to have limited exposure, and we're proposing to have exposure on two separate 6x35 light wells. Finding four, that the granting of such variance will not be detrimental to public welfare. This project will not affect any of the existing tenants, nor will it affect any of the neighbors, as we're not proposing any expansion of the building. And finding five, that it's in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the code, which is to promote orderly and beneficial development in the master code. And overall, this creates three additional rent-controlled two-bedroom housing units. And if I have a moment, I will go through the drawings quickly. Is this laptop working?
We can turn it on, yes.
Microphone?
I can turn that on too, yes. And let me pause your time. Oh, there it is. All right.
Hello. There we go.
Thank you.
All right. So here's the front of the building. As you can see, it looks like it's three stories from the street. Here's the Sanborn map of the block. Our subject site is in red, with many other buildings having rear yard structures. Ours does not, so we have a full 37 feet in the rear yard. Here's the site plan. You can see the two light wells on the north and south, and on this diagram, north is facing down.
You can also see adjacent light wells on the north and south sides. Here's our longitudinal section with the street on the right. This is the existing condition. The entry is up a set of stairs up to the third floor, and we're proposing that you go down two stories to the what is existing storage area. The rear of the building is again on the left side, which has a large storage that's about 18 feet tall. So we'd propose to convert that into, again, two units in the rear with adding a new first floor mezzanine, two bedrooms in the back, and then unit C is in the front. Here's the existing interior. This is what unit C would look like, or just a portion of it. So here again is the unit C layout with exposure onto the two light wells from both bedrooms and from the common living area. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment. Public comment is closed. I think this is a thoughtful ADU proposal. I think for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, the fact that even though neither of the two light wells alone meet the dimensional requirements for the ZA waiver for exposure, that combined they are substantial. They are abutting neighboring light wells. And something else we don't see too often is that there are two bedrooms in Unit C and one common living area, and all three of those rooms would have windows onto one of those light wells. So the light that is available seems to be accessed about as well as possible. So for all those reasons and others, I'm inclined to grant this variance with the standard conditions.
Thank you.
Item number 5 for 3847 to 49 18th Street has been continued to May 9th, 19. So we move on to item number 6. And item 6 is case number 2018-013245 VAR for the property at 33 Cornwall Street, and a rear yard variance is sought. Project sponsor.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good morning. We are replacing in kind the back staircase and second level staircase.
Let me pause your time and turn off the other microphone. I think that might be causing a little feedback there. Please continue.
Great. There's two staircases, an exterior staircase and an interior staircase with an enclosure that was an addition to the building probably in the late 19s, and the building itself is built in 1906, and the structural beams underneath, the supporting beams underneath, were completely rotted, and so we needed to remove and replace the structure in kind. We did receive an over-the-counter permit to do so, and there was a complaint once that there was the demolition of the actual structure there was a notification from our neighbor due to some of the debris going into their yard. And so then the variance is requested beyond that because they said that we were based on where it sits on the property now, that's why we need the variance.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close public comment. It does appear that this work was not necessarily, you did not intend to replace the whole thing. It seemed to be came out of the process.
Correct.
Of doing other work that was permitted. And in this case, you're not looking necessarily to enlarge or improve that space.
Not at all.
Essentially just to replace it in kind.
Correct.
And it is an unusual lot situation, this property, in terms of its configuration. And So for all those reasons, because it is an exact replacement and essentially just to maintain what was already legally there, I would be inclined to grant the variance with standard conditions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that brings us to item number 7, case number 2018-013309 VAR for the property at 1-3 Winter Place. Rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes to present your case. Is the project sponsor here for item number 7, 1-3 Winter Place? Should we hold this item over and move on to item number 8? So moving on to item number 8 for case number 2017-012946 VAR for the property at 2121 Mason Street. Rear yard, exposure, usable open space, bay windows, and street frontage variances sought. And project sponsor, you have 5 minutes to present your case. Is the project sponsor for item number 8 here, 2121 Mason Street? No. Is there any public comment on this item? Mr. Zoning Administrator, should we take this?
Hold that one over for now as well.
We'll see if we have better luck with case number 9. Yes?
Can I ask for the place that you mentioned earlier, Winter Place, that you said you're going to hold over? Is it going to be postponed?
We're going to call it again later in the calendar to give people time to show up.
Yeah, so we only have a couple more items, but we'll come back to that after we move on to these other items, and we'll see maybe the project sponsor just needs more time to show. So we're on item number 9 for case number 2018-011578 VAR, 2898 Vallejo Street. Side yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here for this case? Thank you very much. You have 5 minutes to present your case, Mr. Junius.
Good morning, Mr. Teague and Mr. Sanchez. On behalf of the owners, the Allegre family, I'm here today with Daniel Allegre and his mother, Marissa, is on her way. We didn't think we'd go this quickly. And with project architect Human Sharif. We've been certainly at this for a while. We've scaled back the proposal considerably since what you saw back in 2016. And quickly, I wanted to run through going old school here. So here was where we were on the fourth floor in 2016. Enclosing that area as well. That was the original proposal to enclose much of the light well at that level. Now we've reduced significantly for just the elevator and a small pop-out for an accessible bathroom. On the fifth floor, we were doing a little bit with this stairwell here. That is now completely eliminated, and there is no new floor area being added to the fifth floor. So collectively, we've gone from about a proposed 204 square foot expansion to only 53 feet, a reduction of 75% of what we originally sought. We certainly still need some help here, and we worked very hard to minimize the need for this variance to accommodate the elevator. It really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that a house built 100 years ago may need some changes to keep up with the times. The practical difficulty that we're looking at here is in locating an elevator in this home becomes clear when you look at the unique physical limitations presented by both the site and the home. Again, it's a historic 100-year-old home with a dramatic slope, as many of them have in this neighborhood. You can certainly see from Vallejo down to Green, it's pretty dramatic on Baker Street there. Frankly, the lower portions of the building were never really intended to be occupied. They basically formed a significant empty spaces. There was some garage down there originally, some mechanical spaces and whatnot. But the real challenge we're facing here is that the building was designed with an H floor plan that places the living areas in front and back and has kind of a central core area in the middle that, you know, much like a commercial building, we try to concentrate the circulation within that core. That's where the stairwell is right now, and that's where we want to keep the stairwell. We don't want to touch that stairwell. It's beautiful. And we certainly want to keep, and that's where the elevator location is, right behind that, and you've seen that in the plans. So now that the Allegres are making a more efficient use of these lower floors, they also want to use the be able to get to the rear yard, which is 43 feet below the fourth floor. current rear yard access looks like this. So the rear yard, again, was almost never intended to be used, and it never has been used in any significant way. And the Allegres would certainly like to make that part of the use of their home going forward. A five-story home with no elevator is also a significant challenge to seniors or those with compromised mobility. Frankly, Mr. Allegre's mother, Marissa, would not be able to move from floor to floor without this elevator being installed. And the elevator is, frankly, the most practical solution to provide that kind of access and get the family down to the rear yard. And that's what we're looking at here. So we focused the work in a portion of the home, the east. This is a bit of a clunky Google map, but the east light well is much smaller and much less impressive and virtually not invisible from the street compared to the west light well, the grand one that fronts on Baker Street. And again, I think the key to understanding this case is the fact that this central stairwell pretty much dominates everything. It really makes it difficult to improve the vertical circulation in the home without going into this area. And you can see from, oops, sorry, upside down. And again, you can see it's kind of the heart of the home. So we're certainly trying not to touch that. The whole purpose of the variance here is to keep this home in as much of an intact space as possible. You can see the, not a very good photo up there, but it is a fabulous staircase, and we're looking to save it. So again, in summary, the bottom line here is that the very dramatic slope, the fact that this home was never intended to be vertically integrated like this, and now we have an opportunity to do it with the Allegres. The way the floor was, or the way that H configuration really acts like a core, I think is a real limiting factor here. The remaining three findings we don't think are going to be an issue here at all. Happy to answer questions about those, but it's hard to imagine a tiny addition here and not visible from the street would in any way impact the other three findings. But we're focused on the practical difficulty, as well as the unique circumstances of the historic home, the design, the stairwell, and the slope. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will close public comment. I did yesterday and this morning receive some additional public comment. Did receive a letter of opposition from the Cal Hollow Association and also from the immediate neighbor. Both were preferred to keep the light well intact and keep what exists currently of the required 5-foot setback. I'm generally, I agree that there is legitimacy to adding elevators in homes for aging in place or for future residents who may need them. Can you talk a little bit more about the ability to, there's some area within the proposed addition that is like maybe some kitchen space, some closet space. It's some of the area that's proposed within the required side setback within the expansion is a little bit more than just the elevator. Can you speak to that a bit?
Certainly, let me drag up that floor plan here. So I think you're talking about this little bump out right here. So this floor is designed at this point to be very much in a service to Mrs. Allegre, who has some physical limitations at this point. There's going to be a nursing station up there, and that's really just to try to accommodate, I think, a handicap bathroom or an accessible bathroom at that level. It's a small accommodation. I agree. It's not the justifications aren't necessarily quite as dramatic as the elevator, but it's certainly, I think, helpful. It's I think less than 20 square feet being pushed out into the light well.
Could you speak to? I mean, you mentioned that. I mean, obviously the home is very large, so over 13,000 square feet, but it is dominated with a certain layout and with that central staircase and a lot of the square footage is in lower floors that, are not really used for bedrooms or other type of kind of living space per se. But did you explore options for adding the elevator within the existing envelope? And if so, kind of what did you come up with in the exploration and what limited the ability to sure. do that in a co-complying manner.
I'll start with that, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Sharif, who'll give you a little bit more detail. I think the bottom line is, again, it goes to the fact that this is an unusual building at home in that it's got this central core, and the living spaces, the bedrooms and the kitchens and the living rooms and the dining rooms, it's like they're off to the sides, and they're not really, frankly, you wouldn't want to go up your elevator and walk into your dining room, right? I mean, the way the building works, the home works, I think is pretty clear. You know, it would just not be practical in a lot of ways in there. And then I'm going to bring Houman up to talk about, there were some other possible options for squeezing the elevator into other portions of the kind of the central H of the building. Again, though, very difficult as it starts going down to deal with some of the existing structure. So Houman.
Good morning. I'm Houman Sharif, the architect of the project. We looked at actually putting the elevator in other areas. And one thing to know is that the floor that we call it a fourth floor of the house, which is the bedroom level essentially, is that floor is servicing four kids and parents and the parent of Mr. Allegre. And we need to have the justification of elevator to get to that floor is that it needs to service that floor itself. As far as location of it, when you look at it in this floor itself, just to be able to fit three or even four bedrooms, this elevator cannot move to the sides of the building itself. And when it lands on the main floor, the third floor of the building, the third floor itself has this rooms that are part of the history of the house as far as a living room or a dining room, and the elevator placing it at the corner or side of these rooms, it's practically impossible. So it pushes us to utilize the backside and that light well area to put the vertical shaft in there. If we wanted to move this elevator toward Baker Street or toward north or south, closer to the exterior walls of the building, we would have issues with elevator mechanical room up there, and also the placement of the windows are in a sense that from the historic standpoint, we really cannot mess around with the exterior of the building where it is visible from right away. So logically, when you look at that floor plan, it just makes sense to put that elevator toward the back and closer to the core, and that's where it is placed now.
Okay, thank you. Could you speak specifically, though? You talked about, obviously, the elevator needs to be somewhere central because it needs to service the entire floor for each floor that it's going to service. So it can't really go to one extreme or the other or to be kind of boxed in.
Right.
And I can understand that. On the fourth floor, kind of work our way down, just looking at the option of moving it to the north. On the fourth floor, there's a rehab room that kind of abuts a central hallway and a nursing station area that abuts the central stair, and then that goes down into a portion of the kitchen on the third floor, and then progresses down through the floors. Could you speak to whether or not you looked at just that shift out of the light well there, which would keep it accessing the fourth and third floors, kind of.
For this start answering that question, if you go to the let's say the basement level of this project, So where we put the elevator now, you see it in that location. On the north side of line three, mm-hmm. as you see, there are some existing bump out of concrete columns, and there are actually beams crossing from one side to the other. And just the photo that Mr. Junius showed earlier, as you see, you can kind of get a glimpse of those columns and the concrete wall behind. Structurally, a structural engineer pouring about 20 inches of concrete wall against that old wall because of its the fact that it's 100-year-old and doesn't have structural integrity. The reason that I'm saying is that if we wanted to put the elevator there and against that concrete wall, on the main level of the house, we looked at this option, and on the main level of the house, it would push the elevator much further in. And practically, it would block the circulation in the in that floor itself. We looked at it, and unfortunately, it didn't work.
Okay, thank you. Well, considering I did receive a certain amount of written responses, but very late, and just received them yesterday and this morning, and you know, there is. Even though this is a small proposal, it is fairly complicated in the issues that have been discussed. I am going to take this matter under advisement. If there was a building permit being processed right now, going through 311, potentially DR, we could, you know, potentially deal with that jointly if the neighbors or other community groups did file a DR. But at this point, there's no building permit. So, again, I would take this case under advisement. Thank you.
And Mr. Zoning Administrator, would you like to move on to item number 10 or go back to items number 7 and 8 to see if the project sponsor is here?
Let's keep moving forward to number 10.
Okay. So we're on item number 10. It's the last item that's on the regular calendar for case number 2018-009-075 VAR for the property at 1336 11th Avenue. Rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes to present your case.
Good morning. So we're here to legalize a stair that was built, stair and the trellis that was built on the existing deck. And here is what it looks like. So that's the trellis. And this is. And this is the stair. So the deck is about 8 feet above the grade, and to get from this deck to the backyard, people would have to go out of the building, go down this hallway, and get to the backyard. As it stands right now, the stair does not cast any shadows on anything. In fact, let's see. If you see it here, it is basically this at the same level as the fence to the left, and back to the trellis. Oops, the other way. Also, it doesn't cast any shadows to anything. You see there's a wall of neighbor's property to the right, to the north of us. And, that's what it is. We talked to the neighbors both to the left and to the right, and they have no opposition to either of these items being there. In fact, they wrote some letters that are here. I hold in my hands. Gentleman to the right, Fernando Fortia, is a single family dwelling, and people to the left, both of this, it's a duplex, and both of them written letters to us. We would like to keep the stair and the trellis.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any members of the public here who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, public comments closed. If I understand correctly, you also have your building permit for this work going through 311 notice right now, and that will expire on March the 5th.
That is correct.
Okay. And I have not received any separate communications from any members of the public, so the ones that you bring today are the first ones that I've heard of. Still yet, because there's still time within the 311 notice for someone to request discretionary review. I want to let that full period of time run to see if there is any kind of public comment on the building permit itself. For the reasons you mentioned, the better access to the rear yard for the units, the context, I'm generally supportive of the variance, but again, I'm going to take this one under advisement just to allow the 311 notification to complete to see if a discretionary review is filed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we could go back to
item number 7, seeing if the project sponsor has arrived yet for item number 7, case number 2018-013309 VAR for 1-3 Winter Place. Is the project sponsor here? Please step forward to present your case. Seeing no project sponsor, Mr. Zoning Administrator, would you like to see if there's any public comment on this item?
Yes.
Is there any public comment on item number 7 for 1-3 Winter Place? Even though the project sponsor is not here, I see that some members of the public have found the room on time, and if you'd like to step forward to present public comment, please do so.
Good morning. I'd just like to very briefly state my opposition to this huge expansion of a very, very small building on a very, very small lot. It's way out of proportion to what's around it. The application for variance is kind of misleading in that it compares this building with buildings on Green Street and says, well, they're 4 stories high, and therefore we can go to 4 stories high. But Green Street is a wide street, as are Union and Mason, some of the surrounding streets. This building is on Winter, which is a tiny little alleyway. It's 11 feet wide. So going up to 4 stories on this and increasing the living space from 1,700 square feet to 2,700 square feet is a huge expansion on a lot that's already built out to the property lines. So there's a reason why all these codes exist to limit building in that kind of area on a small little alleyway. It'll be a nightmare for fire safety. It's going to be difficult for cars getting in and out. You really need a small car to even get down that alleyway. And it changes the whole neighborhood. It affects all the neighbors around. But my concern is largely fire safety, and also there's not enough open space in this. I don't see that it complies with the current plans. They're removing a 300-square-foot or 325-foot square-foot roof deck and replacing it with one tiny little roof deck. So it's way out of character for the neighborhood, and it affects the neighbors, and that's my opposition to it.
Thank you. Do you mind stating your name?
Oh, sorry. Peter Gallagher, 776 Green Street. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Hello. My name is Steve Giovannini, and I live at 764 Green Street. We've been in our building since the 1930s, and we have always enjoyed our backyard. We've always enjoyed our beautiful view, and this building's right in front of us. We're afraid it's going to impact what we do in our backyard. Light, shadows, the view, it may diminish the value of our property because we can't see out of 2 of our units. And we just oppose this. We'd rather not have this go through. The safety also, they're right up against the back fence. If something happened, it would just take off the whole neighborhood, fire safety. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Good morning. Steve Williams on behalf of the neighbors up on Green Street. I sent you via email a brief last night. Hopefully you got it. I brought some hard copies if you didn't. You've got to deny this variance this morning. It's not up to the neighbors to disprove the variance. It's up to the project sponsor to prove up facts that justify the variance. And a complete failure to show and present any facts at the public hearing or to present any testimony, I think is fatal to the application and has to be. It sort of spits in the eye of the whole process to just not show up at all. So I don't think it's appropriate that the neighbors have to stand up and prove a negative, sort of stand up here and deny that this variance is justified when there's nothing to rebut. There's been nothing proven. There's been nothing shown. What I filed last night, I think, shows conclusively that this is inappropriate place for a fourth story, inappropriate place to grant a variance. There are no exceptional or extraordinary circumstances that apply only and uniquely to this lot. As you saw from Exhibit 1 that I sent to you, in fact, most of the lots in this block are substandard. And this is something that exists throughout Russian Hill, where you have all these alleys bisecting the lots. You have very small lots. And so it's not a unique circumstance. In fact, there are two identical lots right next door to the west. There are at least 9 other lots which are the same size or smaller on the same block. So you can't even get out of the gates with a exceptional and extraordinary circumstance applying only to this lot. Second, he's not being deprived of any rights if the variance is denied. No one else has a fourth floor on such a small lot on these interior mid-block lots. This would be a special privilege to have a fourth floor of this kind, and so on that basis, it can't meet that finding. In terms of losing a property right, there's no loss of any property right given the fact that no one else has what this project sponsor is seeking. He can still build a fourth floor, or at least apply for a fourth floor. It would just have to be within the buildable area, and then the neighbors could challenge that in terms of the residential design guidelines. And I think that granting this variance would do violence to the general plan and to the design guidelines which are applicable to alleyways. This is one of the smallest alleyways I've ever seen, 11 feet wide. Something of this height will effectively block light to surrounding buildings and block views. So,
thank you. That is time.
Urge you to deny this variance this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item?
Are you the project sponsor,
sir? Excuse me, yes, I apologize.
So the hearing started about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Apologize.
So right now we're just taking public comment. So if there's any other public comment, I want to hear that first before hearing from the
sure.
project sponsor.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward.
Hello, my name is David Fong, and I represent my mother and siblings for the property at 5 and 7 Winter Place. We're basically here today to monitor the proceedings and collect facts. So we're just want to state our sincere concern for what your decision is here today and what goes on. So we're going to reserve further comment now until we hear the other talk. That's it.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, if the project sponsor would like to
thank you. My profound apologies for...
So we just give them three.
Would you like to give them 3 minutes, and would you like to also provide public comment
yes.
Afterwards?
Yes. Can I have the overhead, please? Sincere apologies for being late. We're here this morning to request a variance for a quite small vertical addition to an existing two-flat building on a very, very small alley in a very dense North Beach. Our understanding of the intent of the variance process is to allow a property owner to have similar rights and privileges enjoyed by their neighbors, and we'd like to sort of try to demonstrate that. As we all know, in San Francisco, one of the tenets of urban planning in the residential districts is the common mid-block open space. This is an image of Noe Valley where it's very clearly obvious that we have this common mid-block open space, shared green space in the mid-block view corridor to all buildings on the block. In North Beach, we have a very, very different circumstance where you can see here that most blocks have almost no mid-block open space. There's very few even rear yards in many locations. this is our subject property, and you can see that there's virtually no mid-block open space, a very, very small amount of green space in some rear yards, with virtually every property on the block encroaching in some way in the required rear yard space, and in most cases actually filling completely the yards. This is a close-up view of our block. This is the subject property. You can see that all of the buildings here, virtually all of the buildings, perhaps this one and this one with maybe a 10-foot rear yard, are full lot coverage. Full lot coverage here and almost full lot coverage with all the adjacent neighbors. And the immediately adjacent neighbor here's building is built 100% in the rear yard. There is a detached garage built to the street, but the home is built 100% in the rear yard. Four-story apartment building, full lot coverage. I believe the only property on this block that actually has the required rear yard would be this apartment building here, which is our adjacent rear yard. Another view, the adjacent neighbor built in the rear yard, subject property. This building over here, which is less than one block away, also built on a small alley, and you can see is a four-story building built probably very close to the rear yard. It's very similar to our situation. It clearly has a fourth floor built into the required rear yard. That's a close-up of that building on Kent Street. We believe we have a relatively modest addition, that we've designed it in a way that's very sensitive to the neighborhood. This is a bird's eye view from the front of the building. This would be the subject property. This is the existing condition. There's an existing roof deck with a wall privacy screen built to the neighbor to the west. And this is our proposed addition. We purposefully held it back from the street because it's a very, very small street and we wanted to minimize the impact on the street.
That is time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So once again, we will open up public comment if there's any members of the public who would like to speak again after hearing the project sponsor give their presentation. We will take that comment now. Okay, seeing none, then we will close public comment. So as was mentioned, this variance was required and requested just for the rear portion of the fourth floor addition. There is some portion of the fourth floor that could be added and still be considered co-compliant. However, that would still undergo review under the residential design guidelines. To that point, the building permit for this proposal is going through 311 neighborhood notification right now. That is set to expire on March the 4th, and while as of this morning, I'm not aware of any requests for discretionary review being filed, it's been strongly indicated that is likely to happen. I think there are some legitimate concerns with the proposal, even though it is, as was mentioned, a very dense and complex neighborhood in this area with a lot of alleys, a lot of different heights and contexts, but I do want to review this in more detail, and I do expect this to also go before the Planning Commission through a discretionary review, so I will take this matter under advisement in expectation of a discretionary review being filed.
So moving on to the next item and what will be the last item on this case, we're coming back to item number 8, case number 2017-012946 VAR. For the property at 2121 Mason Street, seeking rear yard, exposure, usable open space, bay windows, and street frontage variances. We're coming back to this item as the project sponsor here now. Thank you. Please step forward. You have 5 minutes to present your case.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jeff Gibson with Winder Gibson Architects, the project sponsor. I have the owners of the property, Charlie and June, here. They're going to speak for a minute, and then I'll talk about the variances.
Good morning. On behalf of the family, we'd just like to thank you for the opportunity for this hearing. The family has owned the house since the 50s. House has not been modified or anything. It's really in desperate need for repair and update. And we just think that the architect has done a great job in helping us create ways to accommodate the family's needs. We have my wife's younger sister would be occupying, and she's alone, so we would create a condo unit for her, and our son would be in the other unit. So going from one unit that's not well done to four, I think will accommodate our family needs, and thank you.
All right, thanks, Charlie. Okay, I'm gonna just lead you briefly through the nature of the variance. It's, you guys don't see me here a lot, even though I've been working in the city for 20 years, and that's because we usually try to design without variances. We're really not a fan of variances where possible. But we do think they're necessary sometimes where the direct application of the planning code doesn't seem to meet the intent of the code or the residential design guidelines, and also doesn't serve the interest of designing a good building, respecting the context. So right now, today, down there. So right now today there's this unusual building with 100% lot coverage. It's basically a large single family house, 100% lot coverage. And it's a narrow 19 foot wide lot, and it's a through lot. So there's some unusual circumstances. Our proposal is to basically remodel this building by actually cutting out the center of it to create a courtyard, and then to add vertically to each side to create basically sort of two buildings, one fronting each street. These buildings are designed really sensitively for context with double hung windows, painted wood siding, recessed panels on the bay windows, basically trying to pull in contextual details, and also sited very sensitively with the use of that inner courtyard. There's sort of a funny glitch in the code that basically says you can substitute a rear yard for an inner courtyard if both adjacent lots are also through lots and have a kind of courtyard condition. We don't have that, which is why we're seeking our initial variance, and a lot of the variances kind of tumble from that. So in this diagram, we've shown you what a code compliant building would look like with 75% lot coverage and a rear yard back here, which doesn't really seem to benefit the context or the neighbors at all. Instead, this is the site plan that we're proposing, where we take that full 25% compliant rear yard and we actually shift it to the middle, and we're requesting a variance to create a courtyard which respects the mid-block open space, benefits the neighbors, benefits ourselves. Sort of coming from that then, we are on this narrow 19-foot wide lot, so the next variances that we basically require are associated with usable open space and dwelling unit exposure. Those requirements require basically like either a 20 or 25-foot wide lot to comply. We have a 19-foot wide lot, so we're a little bit shy on width, but we've enlarged the size of that courtyard to basically ensure that the square footage of the courtyard is larger than the minimum square footage achieved by the minimum dimensions. So we're requesting variances for unit exposure and for usable open space in that regard. At the front, we're requesting a front setback requirement, a front setback variance, reason being that we happen to be built beside the one very small neighbor that is set back. Every other building on the block face on both our side and the other side of the street has zero setback. So we're requesting to basically be allowed to build straight up instead of having an average front setback requirement imposed by that sort of strange anomaly 60s building. And similarly, requesting a variance for the geometry of the light of the bay windows to allow us to expand the two bay windows that are there vertically. And then finally, a active use variance for the frontage on Newell Street, which is not really an active street. Happy to answer any other questions or respond to any comments from the public.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Please come forward.
And you have 3 minutes for each for public comment.
Hello, my name is Brett Howard, and I am in, I guess, regards to 6 Newell Street, which is on that supposed non-active alley. We are a very active alley, and we have, I think, 5 other units that have a lot of people in and out. I'm basically just concerned with construction time, how the street and the surrounding units will be affected by construction. Our building is directly going to be affected greatly by like a demo, and we do have a backyard courtyard that if they are planning on building another yard, we'd just like to know how that's going to work, because we spent a lot of time working on our garden and we don't want it to be damaged. Our building is really, really old, and we've lived there for over 15 years, and it's like falling apart. So we're concerned with like structural damage to our unit and the unit above us while construction is underway. We have a young child, and we have a few other young children in the gate that was right there, and we go in and out of that alley all day long. And yeah, we're basically just kind of concerned with construction and how it will affect our accessibility in and out. And with the, I know that they're planning on building a three-story unit in the front, just how that will affect, I guess, our ins and outs. And let's see here. Yeah, mainly we're just concerned with like our building's structural integrity, because it's also very old, and I know that it's been there as a long time. And so we're just like very worried that them taking the whole building down next door, which is literally like their butt up next to each other, like the whole side. There's so much, like the rain right now, our whole basement is like flooding. And so we're just like, we know our unit has a lot of like damage. And so with that building coming down, how that's gonna affect us. And we did reach out to our landlord letting them know about this, and he didn't know about it. So we did make sure that we've kind of started talking with the neighborhood, and the people in the alley are concerned with the big unit. They do have an exit onto Mason Street, but their cars go in and out of that gate. And then the unit next to us, I think it's 36, they have a garage, and they don't actually use their garage, so there's no car, but I know that they have an elderly couple that live there. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Good morning. My name is William Hogue, inhabitant resident of 8 Newell, directly next door. Newell Street is, in fact, a very active street. It's our only entrance to our residence. It's already pretty crowded and difficult to deal with. As you mentioned, this is 100% lot coverage. We are directly touching. Our backyard wall is, in fact, their residence. So everything would be affected by construction there. The vertical addition would directly affect my bedroom, my home office, our bathroom. We would really be face-to-face with this addition, and blocking light, disturbing noise, things like that are my concerns. And as Brett mentioned, the building itself, I don't see how this construction could not affect us, as we are touching, literally, the side of their building. So I think spatially it's just very concerning, as it doesn't seem too compatible.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, the project sponsor, you have 3 minutes if you would like to speak on to any of those issues.
Thank you. I really appreciate both of you guys coming out, and I want to make sure I get your contact information. I've been an architect in the city for 20 years, and obviously that means I've worked on hundreds of property line adjacent buildings. I understand very much the sensitivities around construction noise, construction scheduling, avoiding impact to access, pedestrian and car access. Also issues, you know, around underpinning or structural adjacencies and that kind of thing. So, you know, this is just a categorical statement, but we take those issues very seriously. We cover them extensively in our documentation. We work very closely with our structural and shoring engineers, and very closely with the high quality contractors that we engage to make sure those things are addressed. Those are all basically all, to me, those all fall under technical issues. They need to be tackled technically and very professionally. They're very serious issues, but they're not do not build the building kind of issues. But I did want to just address a couple things specifically there. So I don't know why, but our existing building has a 100% lot coverage basement in it. It was maybe used as a storehouse at one time or something, I don't know. But we have a basement that already extends about 8 feet underground, and we're using that space. We're not excavating further, and we're not raising it. That basement has brick retaining walls all the way around the whole thing. And so those brick retaining walls are acting as a retaining wall for the adjacent property, including 6 and 8 Newell. And they make me nervous. You know, brick does not perform well in an earthquake. So part of our project is going to be to piece by piece, sectionally remove the brick and replace it with contemporary concrete, proper foundations. So although there will be a period of time at which there's construction and that will certainly cause some degree of annoyance, we will try to mitigate that as much as possible, work really closely with the neighbors. When we're finished the project, everybody's going to be more secure. Their building is going to basically be shored by our new concrete foundation. So I think that that's actually a long-term collective benefit in this case. And then I just wanted to just take a look at Newell. So on the Newell side today, this is basically what the back of our building looks like. So we have a kind of super wide garage. We have a back sort of tradesman door there. It's pretty unfriendly kind of facade. It is in use, and what we're proposing is instead this design. So we're reducing the size of the garage door. We're providing a residential entryway for the two units that are in the building facing Newell. So our intent is definitely to activate, to help foster a kind of sense of neighborhood on that street. This is going to be the entrance for this building. We think it's a really cute little street, and I think if people work together, it sounds like there's already a nice neighborhood vibe. We can kind of help improve the street and I think help activate the street.
Okay. Thank you. And I will close public comment on this item. Yeah, this is an interesting lot. I mean, some of this you already mentioned, but there's I think there are definitely exceptional, extraordinary circumstances here, both with the lot, with the narrow nature, double fronting nature, the entire block itself kind of being triangular and having Newell kind of jab through it. It's not your typical rectangular block with kind of a cohesive mid-block open space. As you mentioned, the properties not to the south but to the north also are through lots that have structures that front that are double frontage structures essentially. So there are a lot of unique circumstances here. Something else you mentioned that I agree with is that so much of the needed variances for this project kind of domino off of the rear yard issue. But if you take that away, if you looked at this project and said, we're going to subdivide the lot into two lots and have one front on each street and then build a code-complying project, that's basically what you have. It's basically been designed to meet the planning code, except for some minor, a few minor deviations there. But it's essentially designed to meet the planning code as if these were two separate lots fronting on the two different streets, which I think is thoughtful and it's very contextual. So I appreciate that. I know this has gone through a lot of design work with our design folks in the department, and it's gotten to a place where everybody is pretty happy with that. Regarding the construction issues, you're correct. I mean, we face this a lot, especially in our very dense neighborhoods. There's a lot of property line construction, and so that is a legitimate concern as to how the construction is going to take place and what kind of impacts that's going to have. That's primarily regulated through the building code and not the planning code, although we do like to hear that there has been kind of thought and care put into that issue, and we always encourage the project sponsors to coordinate with their neighbors as much as possible on that issue. I do see, though, that again, this, like several projects tonight, that the building permit for this project is still out for notification, and that notice doesn't expire until this Friday, March the 1st. And so because there are some opposition, I think the planner working on this case did receive some other general neighborhood opposition to the project. I think primarily based on design issues and not necessarily on the variance issues, which may be why they're not here today. You know, there could be a request for a discretionary review filed. So I am generally supportive of the variances for many of the reasons that were laid out today. I think it is a thoughtful design, but I will take it under advisement for now in case the discretionary review is filed, because I will want that to inform the decision as well. Thank you very much. Good timing.
Would you like to see any general public comment?
Is anyone here from the public who would like to speak on a matter that was not on the agenda today? Seeing none, we will close public comment, general public comment, and the meeting is adjourned.